Close your eyes. Focus. Listen to work getting done with Monday.com. Relax as AI does the manual work while your teams are aligned on a single source of truth. Feel the sensation of an AI work platform so flexible and intuitive, it feels like it was built just for you. Notice you're limitless. Limitless. Now open your eyes. Go to Monday.com. Start for free and finally, breathe.
Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we are reviewing Obsession. Twister turns 30, and our topic this week revolves around movies or TV shows that influenced our opinions on jobs or careers or whatever. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, Troy Henritz.
What's up?
And Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
We're all shocked you're here. Remember, you
Shut
can
up.
Always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com, and you can rate and subscribe us on your preferred podcast app. Just so everybody knows, because this is an audio medium, Troy, for some reason, came to the podcast wearing sunglasses like he's the coolest guy in the room. He's podcasting in a room.
He looks like Ray Charles.
He does. And I think we should be offended. I don't know what the rules are on this, but
he's moving around looking like he's blind. That's hysterical.
Terrible, I think, was what we're supposed to say.
I mean, it's terrible.
Shame.
Not hysterical.
So what's going on with the glasses? You just got a deal on these? And why are you still wearing them indoors?
My other ones fall off my face all the time. And so I purchased these on a website. We're not going to say their name because they don't pay for the podcast.
Agreed.
But they can just contact info at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
But they, it's all augmented reality based. So they use your camera on your phone to measure the distance between your pupils and your eye sockets and all that stuff. You type in your prescription and boom, $100 later, glasses delivered to your house. Never have to go to the eye doctor.
None of this is explaining why you are wearing sunglasses indoors.
Because these are the ones I just bought.
Are they dark from your point of view or are they bright from your point of view?
They actually have like a blue block light technology in them because I'm going to wear them for cycling. So it helps with the sun glare and it actually really helps with the computer monitor. So
get better parking spots in Chicago? Like totally. You can just hop out of the car and it's like 11 at night and you'd be like, no, I'm not. That's my spot. I'm allowed to park there.
I'm definitely not doing that. No.
Good answer.
I don't drive into Chicago. I take the train.
Okay. Well, it's great. Apparently, we got a rock star here on the podcast now because he's just going to sit around with his little sunglasses on, trying to look cool. It's nighttime.
He's wearing a polo shirt.
She just killed your facade. Just to clarify,
you can't tug the collar and think that looks cool.
It's my
Troy.
Scoops, it's my Scoops Ahoy shirt.
Amanda, what's been new with you? Been doing anything? Watching anything?
What's cooking? I actually do have some good stuff to talk about in our recommendations at the end. I have a couple things there. Working. Texas heat isn't killing me yet. I'm still alive.
Still May. Still early.
It's still, yeah. But also, this time last year, it was pretty hot. So, we'll see if I survive till August.
Oof.
But yeah, other than that work, I got a bonsai tree, really liking
like
that.
The Karate Kid? Adding,
like a real one or
yep.
a Lego one?
I actually, no, it's like a potted bonsai
Jesus,
tree.
What a nerd. He immediately goes to Legos.
I would have bought the Lego bonsai tree. That's so cool.
No, it's a real one. But he's pretty. We did name him Miyagi because I couldn't think of anything else that was fitting.
Okay, why would you name your tree? We'll just skip right past that.
You're supposed to talk to all your plants, apparently,
what?
To keep them alive. I don't
That's
know
why
this
mine are
because
all
I've
dead.
Killed every plant I've ever touched,
Same.
Except for this bonsai tree so far.
So have you done the trimming of it? Like, have you gone back and watched the Karate Kid so you can understand how Daniel-san is supposed to do it?
No, I have not done that. But here, you can see my tree.
It's an audio medium. Doesn't help anybody listening.
For you guys, okay. It looks cool.
Springing off of that is you should go on YouTube and find old videos of Pat Morita and find out, like, he doesn't have that accent at all. So I still don't know. Is it offensive then or not? Is it okay because he did it? I don't know, but it's that whole accent is like not how he spoke at all.
I mean, if you were to look back on it now, society would surely say that it's not okay because nothing's okay.
Unless he took classes and actually trained in the language dialect, then it would be okay.
Does that strike you as classically trained?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But man, that was a very astute sentiment that you're right. Everything's offensive now. Everything.
It is.
Yeah.
It's fair. And that's not even Amanda just exaggerating by lumping everything
hyperbole
into and everything or always. What's the word?
Hyperbole.
Yeah. It's truly that nothing is abstained from being offensive. If you wonder, could this be perceived as offensive? The answer is yes.
Thanks for depressing me today. I appreciate that.
I don't know why you're depressed. It's your middle name.
Easy. All right. Well, let's move into some movie and TV. Let's pep it up. Netflix and Shawn Levy are getting into business together again. They did The Adam Project and Stranger Things, obviously. Well, there's a new movie called Somewhere Out There that's being worked on, and it's supposed to be an emotional sci-fi motion picture. And it's described as being in the vein of Arrival, which is the Denis Villeneuve's alien encounter drama, which Levy also produced, and the Adam Project. So, man, the story concerns a grieving father who, after losing his wife, sends a message out into the stars, and something out there starts to talk back. And I just, you know, with Disclosure, was it Disclosure Day? The Steven Spielberg movie that's coming out this summer?
It's coming out. Yep.
Yeah. We've got a lot of smart science fiction that's coming out, and I don't know how you feel about it, but it gets me pretty excited, especially because I think Shawn Levy is very good at making entertaining sci-fi.
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed The Adam Project, and I think Arrival's probably it's like loved, but I think people gravitate towards Interstellar more than Arrival. I think Arrival gets underlooked sometimes, but like from it, what it actually does at the end of the movie and the explanation of what's going on, it's actually really impressive time travel type stuff that they put together.
The Arrival, I mean?
Yeah, The Arrival.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really clever in how it portrays sci-fi in the sense that it doesn't have to be just aliens all the time, or it just doesn't have to be, you know, the classic sci-fi stuff that you would see like B-Movie Saturday. It's like really good sci-fi, like takes like actual plausible things and makes them just close enough to reality that you go, could this potentially happen? And I think that Sean does that really, really well with the project he's been around.
I'm just really bummed it's not going to be like Charlie Sheen's Arrival, because that's the Arrival I want to see brought back. Do you remember that, Charlie Sheen?
I do.
Ron Silver, the great bad guy. The guy that's just the bad guy in every movie he's ever done. Oh,
that it would fall into the C-Movie Sunday version of sci-fi.
Have you ever seen it?
I have.
It's a surprisingly good film, I think.
I think it's good for Charlie Sheen's film acting, yes, for sure.
Okay, well, I don't think that was necessary. I feel like there's a little shade thrown at Charlie Sheen for no reason.
I mean, Men at Work is good, too.
I do like Men at Work. I do. Big fan. Hey, speaking of things I'm a big fan of, Twister turned 30 this month, just to make you feel a little older.
30.
I don't think that's a pun, but I'll take it, sure. So it's 30 years of The Extreme, and you know what's funny is I just, you know, Twisters came out, what, 2 years ago? And I'm still waiting for an announcement for a third movie. But man, you know, because I watched this not too long ago. I have every year, I have a 4th of July kind of thing where I just go out and watch it in my backyard, like as a drive-in movie experience. And Twisters was one of them from a year or two ago. And it was great. Like, it still holds up. It is one of the most impressive blockbuster movies of the last 30 years, I would say, just because of how well it holds up. Even the special effects, they hold up. It's still thrilling. The storms are still fascinating. Like, it all still works. Agree or disagree? Like,
they actually drove that truck through the house. That was practical effects, not special effects. That's why it looks so good and why it holds up.
I'm talking the tornadoes, man. You know I'm talking about the tornadoes. I ain't talking about that truck.
All we care about is the tornadoes.
Yes, tornadoes. Still rival anything you see with documentaries, honestly. I mean, the special effects I thought were phenomenal for the time.
watch the storm chasers that like fly their drones into the center. Like that's freaking cool stuff on the internet.
Well, hey, if you listen to our South by Southwest 2026 episode, we did actually talk about a movie that goes inside the Twisters.
Yeah, but it was a shitty movie.
Well, it wasn't a good movie.
It's a bad
Hold
movie.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
The sequences of the visuals were really cool. We did note that the cinematography was really fun. If you are wanting to see more up close and personal storm chasing.
Why would you want to go there where the story sucks when you can have Helen Hunt and Bill
the Extreme
Paxton?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's still
I want up. Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Exactly. Always.
And what's funny is that they said that they weren't direct sequel. They said that it wasn't really the same universe, even though it felt the same universe. But
the same. It's in the same universe. I don't care what they say.
Yeah. Because they use the Dorothy technology. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
But they're two very different movies for two very different times in our lives. Like the Twister from different? 30 Twister from 30 years ago was that like classic popcorn, throw your care to the side, sit down and watch like an action movie, right? Where I feel like Twisters made storms more, I think, relevant and personal, especially like the shady dealings about how the insurance companies come through and then buy up the town. And it felt very of present day, right? Because the storms are only getting more and more violent as global warming happens. So I think that they amped up Twisters enough that it like paid homage to the original, but yet it brought something new that people are currently facing in today's destructive disaster zones.
But it wasn't anywhere near as good. I mean, it was good. I liked Twisters.
It was good. It was good.
Nothing compared to Twister. That for whatever reason, and I say that as someone who thinks Bill Paxton was sorely miscast in that film. I do. It's still a great movie, despite, I think, Bill Paxton just not being a really strong presence in that movie. I feel like he was just, they could have found just about anybody to fill that role. And I still think Jamie Gertz is like just really mistreated throughout the entire movie. And by the audience, they like treat her like she's bad. Oh, she's annoying. She's this, she's that. I mean, she's just thrown into this while he's running around with his ex-wife doing what they used to do. I think everybody would probably be pissed. So she rightfully didn't want to be there and shouldn't have.
What if Glenn Powell today was actually in the extreme role in the original movie?
I mean, he fit it better. I still love the movie. It's not like I don't love the movie. I still, and a lot of it has to do with the fun group behind him, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman. I think this is probably one of my favorite roles of his. I don't care how great an actor he is. He was great here. He was fun. He was entertaining. He let loose. He wasn't an actor. And it was just a very fun movie. And I think it really captured at that moment in terms of our fascination with tornadoes. At that moment in 1996, when this thing came out, people hadn't really seen what a storm looked like from the inside. We had no idea what they would look like. So the fact that it took you into the middle of a tornado was a huge freaking deal. And it made you feel like you were part of that storm. And now I think because of National Geographic and hundreds of documentaries and, you know, Planet Earth and everything else in the world that has shown you a tornado left, right, and center, I don't think it's as impressive. It's not as cool. So it'll never top Twister just because of that, because you had the, oh my God, what does this really look like factor? And now people kind of know what a tornado looks like inside and out. It's not really a surprise.
Yeah, we kind of like, there's a golden era there in the mid-90s where you get that like with Jurassic Park. First time you see like real life dinosaurs on the screen too.
Did you say real live dinosaurs?
They look freaking real to me.
Yeah, I get what you mean. But just so everybody knows, those weren't real. They were not real. Troy.
It's practical effects, man.
You probably thought they were real because you had sunglasses on, but if you took those off, you would see that they were actually just, you know, CGI, but great effects.
Yeah.
And this is 1996 is the same year that Independence Day came out. So it's like two of the best disaster movies in history came out the same summer. It was awesome. Amanda, I just feel bad for you because you weren't around to witness it in a theater.
You're so funny. Thank you for bringing up a woman's age, which you're never supposed to do, Aaron.
I didn't state how old you were. I'm just saying like...
You didn't need to.
You're also very young.
Didn't state your age. You assumed he stated your age. He just said you weren't around to go to a theater.
Yeah, I was just very young. You were just very young. That's all.
I didn't say...
Again, implies my age. So my point still stands.
So it's offensive. But so that's offensive. I offended you. Is that what we were saying? Do you want to go to HR?
None.
Do we have a ho HR? I don't think we do. We
should am ho HR.
File a complaint. I'll deal with my pip later.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't have anything really additional to add. I feel like you guys covered it.
Were you a big fan?
So I was just chilling. Of Twister?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Who didn't love Twister?
Just asking.
Who didn't? But you know, the interesting thing about me loving Twister, because it's such a good movie and I've rewatched it a number of times since I saw it when I was so young. And one thing that I find really funny about, or I guess ironic more so about it, is I have had a long life fear of tornadoes because I grew up in the Midwest and saw them all the time. So inherently, of course, I was terrified of them because I've witnessed them in real life. And I used to even have nightmares about tornadoes happening that like went through my work and everything, because I used to work at the movie theater and there was a tornado that actually went through the parking lot. And somehow I still love Twister. It's still fun. It's fun from a distance, right? Think about how much Twister has educated people on what to look for a storm.
Yeah, that's probably a fair fact. I mean, there's probably a lot of people that had no idea what to look for, and now everybody can use that movie as a kind of a way
to calm before the storm, right? To know what to look for. Yeah, sure,
I could see that. I don't know. It's one of those movies that it was really stuck with me, and I don't know anybody that doesn't like Twister. I just don't, and I don't know if I want to.
And the cow? Don't even get me started on the cow.
Another cow.
I just think it's hysterical. It's so sad, but it's hilarious.
I think they should remake it, and the cow talks in the remake when it swings over.
You know, the second one, though, I wasn't as big of a fan of. It wasn't as good.
Really? You didn't like this one? The new one? Newer.
It was okay. Don't get me wrong. It was okay. There were some good parts about it, but it felt like, okay, are we just trying to remake the entire first movie? Is this a remake or is this like a sequel?
What's going on here? I agree with you. I don't think it was that much different from the original. Troy seems to think that it was, but I didn't think it really was.
Really feel like it. It felt like, let's try to find the tornado. Our lives are about tornadoes and storm chasing.
I mean,
there's a tornado.
It's called Twister.
I don't know. Maybe advance the goal with the technology or something. Make it more modernized. I didn't feel like it really.
They had drones. They had stuff like that.
Oh boy!
And they were trying to. Oh boy! They were trying to expose the corruption that is like the FEMA and insurance companies and all of that stuff. That's the modernized part of it.
I guess so. That everything's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Man, it really doesn't sound very exciting when you mention that. Well, there are insurance companies and FEMA. You're right. This one was just like, Joe, stop running into that tornado. What the hell are you doing? I just got to see if I can stop it on my own. That's stupid. By the way, somebody take care of my wife or my soon to be wife. Cause I got to, this other wife that I got to get rid of to get the new wife. And boy, it's really a complicated romance when you think about it.
Everybody loves a good triangle.
For her because she had a dad complex.
Yeah, well, he came back to her because, you know, those relationships always work out. We were basically on the verge of divorce. You found someone else. You're almost going to marry them. You need to get divorced from me to do that. You have one day where we see a bunch of tornadoes, like five tornadoes, and now everything's golden again. It's very weird. I don't like it. No, I don't like the movie anymore. It's wrong. It's offensive. All right. See? Our show's independently funded. Therefore, all of our expenses are from our own pockets. Patreon helps fans support the favorite podcast. You can get it ad-free if you go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. And also when we put up some bonus content, which we just put up a bad movie night up there. So now we're going to move into our From the Outside In topic. Movies or TV shows that change your perception of what a job was. And here, I'm going to explain this. Like, this kind of took me by surprise. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to be part of their filing. But some Miami-Dade County sheriffs are suing Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's company, Artists Equity, over the film The Rip. Remember that came out like back in January? The lawsuit claims that Damon and Affleck's characters are so heavily associated with the two officers that their portrayal has caused substantial harm to their personal and professional reputations because the movie and its advertisements imply misconduct, poor judgment, and unethical behavior in connection with a real law enforcement operation. So the rip follows, for anyone that didn't know, Lieutenant Dane DeMars is Matt Damon and Detective Sergeant J.D. Byrne is Ben Affleck, as their discovery of a $20 million of cartel cash demonstrates corruption within the Miami-Dade Police Department. I would argue those sheriffs should probably have watched the whole movie because they're not corrupt. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So the complaint claims that the case that served as the inspiration for the film was a real-life incident in which these sheriffs seized more than $21 million in 2016 in June. And as a result, the plaintiffs allege that the film's use of unique, non-generic details of the June 29th, 2016 investigation, combined with its Miami-Dade setting and portrayal of a narcotics team, creates a reasonable inference that the officers depicted are plaintiffs. That's their legality. And I'm just kind of curious, have you ever, I'm not using this as an example, right? Because I don't want to wade anywhere near this one. But do you ever feel like a movie or a TV show makes you feel a different way about a vocation than you did before you started watching it, for better or worse?
Everything I see in movies and TV changes the way I think. That's why we like them. And if they don't, then I'm not challenging myself.
Okay, that's way deeper than I expected.
I'm just kidding. I mean, yeah, there's validity to what I just said. But I would say there's some where I guess I just know the good and the bad. I don't feel like I'm learning anything new, i.e. cop movies, sheriff movies. There's good and bad, right? We know that there are proven instances of individuals who steal or embezzle or do all of these horrible things. And then on the flip side, there are people that are innocent and just do good and sometimes maybe even get killed or hurt for doing the right thing. Have I ever wanted to be a cop? No. Does this ever make me want to be a cop? No. But there are some that I've watched a show or a movie and I start to resonate so much where I'm like, I feel like I could do that. I feel like I could become a nurse and be really good at that. Or a couple of them for me have been more specifically Criminal Minds, because I really did want to be an FBI profiler and deal with like really horrible people. And then on the flip side of that, at the same time where I was like validated that this is something I would really enjoy, the flip side of it was seeing these stories where the profilers have threats to themselves and their family, or like you have to be able to keep so much of that a secret. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't keep secrets to the FBI level, only the HR level. So that's where I changed my career path. I'm just kidding. And then the other one I would say would be Legally Blonde, because of this blonde woman that everybody underestimated, that nobody gave a chance to, that had to fight her way through it. And truth be told, even in the beginning, I feel like we all thought she was not capable of being an attorney. And by the end, it's more just that she has the characteristics of being an attorney. And all she needed was the knowledge for the case. And I was like, oh, I'm also really good at debating and researching and getting information. Maybe I could be an attorney. And I thought about being a lawyer at one point because of Legally Blonde.
Man, I used to think about being a lawyer. I went to law school, criminal justice. And
suits.
I didn't finish it. But I was going to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer, wanted to be a cop, wanted to be a lot of things. And I remember growing up watching Perry Mason going, oh, that would be great to be a defense attorney. Da, da, da. Then you get a little older and you realize, wait, they're mostly guilty. Shit. This job is not nearly as cool as I thought it was. I thought every...
this job sucks.
this job kind of sucks now. I don't know if I want to do that anymore. And I did not. And being a cop became very dangerous for a lot of reasons. And a lot of it was, yeah, there are... sure, there are dirty cops out there, but there are a lot of people that are just doing the best that they can and just trying to do the best job that they can and trying to enforce the law. And, you know, yeah, Man, there's so much to consider.
And then you have others that send you unsolicited nudes on Snapchat that are really weird, too.
I'm sorry?
Just don't be cops like that.
Is this something that happened? I assume this is a true story, because otherwise, I don't know where that came from. I don't recall that
They're
on Miami
not
Vice.
All good. Some are a little too wink, wink, naughty.
Did it get you out of a ticket?
No, actually.
Well, that's gross, then. Shame
I didn't
on them.
Get one either, but...
Got that guy a ticket.
What about you? Did you want to be anything?
No, I mean, I have 1,080 episodes of medical training between ER, House,
yep.
The Resident, and Grey's Anatomy. I didn't even factor in two seasons of The Pit, so that's another 30.
Roughly, I was literally thinking this. I just thought I would get shot if I said it, so I'm so glad you did.
How much are you going to retain? Like, could you actually diagnose someone, do you think? Do you know what all that's? Get shot up. You could not. Give me a chart, guys. I got this figured out. You're going to need 400 milligrams of blah, 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 blah.
No, and I have it on authority. There's like actual formulas that are even like too hard for the humans to remember. So the computer actually does all the work for you. So that second season of The Pit, like scary when you think about it. It's like, wait, if the computer's not figuring out the math, then I don't know I'm getting the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to think like people would put that much stock into potentially thinking they could be a profession from television or movies, because like, no, it's acting. Like maybe but you could a lot be of a, these maybe, insp- maybe you could be an actor,
but a lot of these have inspired people.
They can inspire. Yeah.
The reason I wanted to be a cop to begin with, the absolute reason I wanted to be a cop, is because of watching TV and movies. I thought Lethal Weapon looked cool. Then I realized, well, the cops don't have this much fun, and you can't actually destroy a city, an entire city.
Correct. Yeah.
Without
still having a job.
Without having some repercussions. I mean, it turns out that if you cause wanton destruction on your usual day, you and your buddy cop, no matter how many jokes you're cracking, you're probably going to be in trouble. And
the city doesn't want to keep paying you.
No.
And your liability.
No. It costs you $3 million, Bob. This is going to be a problem. You're probably going to be unemployed tomorrow. You took down a bridge. You blew up a bridge. Yeah, but I stopped that one guy. Yeah, who stole a hot dog cart, Bob? That's all you did. You stopped the guy with a hot dog cart. It's just, you were unemployed.
Yeah, because like, I don't want to be a mentalist that's trying to figure out cases and stuff and just worrying that I'm going to get caught every day. The anxiety level, that's just so much. Poor Sean.
For psych. All the line.
But I don't think I've ever been like in... I mean, space has always been the thing. Like, you just... I watch Space Camp. I talk about Space Camp. My wife and I had a conversation that for my 50th birthday, maybe I should go to Space Camp for a week. Because like I've always said, like, I want to go to Space Camp. I want to meet Jinx. I want to go to space accidentally. Like,
accidentally. Jinx, how do you go to
space? Well, that's very specific.
How do you go to space accidentally?
Because Jinx.
He has a weird fetish where he's just hoping an alien abducts him. And he's like, this is the moment I've been waiting for.
Jinx the robot did the thermonuclear failure and put Max into space.
I don't want to have consent to go to space.
What's Jinx the robot?
You know, Space Camp.
Oh, with...
the movie with Marty McFly's mom.
Sure, Leah Thompson. Okay.
Leah Thompson.
From the 80s.
From the 80s. Yes.
Do they actually have a space camp?
Yes, in Huntsville, Alabama. And you can go as an adult for an entire week or a weekend.
How do you go to space accidentally?
Because Jinx is still probably sitting there at NASA. I mean, Voyager is still working, you know, 50 some years later. Like, why isn't Jinx still rolling around NASA there? It's a booster rocket and sends you on your way.
Wouldn't you like to go intentionally, though? Like, if you, like, let's unpack this. So if you have the choice between going to space in with
consensually
with
intent, and unconsensually.
Yes. Or going, you know, because accidentally or unconsensually. What was the word you used?
Unconsensually.
Sounds like an alien probe and they just keep you. That's what it sounds like. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's into
it. That's what it sounds like. Is that what you're wanting? Like, stop wearing underwear and see what happens, I guess. You're wearing your cool sunglasses. You look like you're ready for space. Like Ryan Gosling it up already.
Yeah. Going to the sun.
You know, there is one career that I was really, really thinking I was going to get into when I was 7 years old.
Vampire Slayer?
Yep. And I didn't for real 100,000%. I might have told you guys this before.
Not a real job.
I thought I would like go out and I'm like, dude, if there's a vampire, I'm gonna slay this. I got this. And I'd practice my little moves. I was ready.
you understand that there's still there's still people, and that is considered murder one.
Yeah.
That, and also you don't get paid for it. What kind of job is that?
Oh, we could tie them all together. So while Troy is accidentally in space and you're off murdering random strangers, I could be the cop, and or Troy could be my partner before he disappears into space, and we could blow up the city.
Oh,
trying
he gets
to get
abducted,
you.
Yeah. And you're trying to find him, and that leads you to me as a murderer.
I don't connect all those, but I'll watch it. Sure.
I think it was more like I got abducted after Aaron blew up the city, so I wasn't part of Aaron's shenanigans.
Yeah. There you go. That works.
He just doesn't want to be on the lawsuit.
Nope. I don't blame him. I think it's weird that they're being sued, by the way. I don't think anyone thinks anything about those specific cops. I think they watched a movie on Netflix and they're like, oh, movie.
They're not putting two and two together after a 10-year span.
And also, it's not like you guys are the only ones who've done it.
Yeah, I've seen dirty cop movies.
Lots of other dirty cops, yeah.
Lots of them. Lots of dirty cop movies all over the place. I've seen them all over.
And so it's, what if they used your situation as inspiration to write their own story?
I mean, I'm not going to look.
Everything is a muse. Life is muse when you are art.
Well, that's true. And people spin off of real life events all the time and make it into something completely different. Yeah,
it's called a writer going on Google and being like, funny cop stories that happened in the last decade. Oh, we could take parts of that and parts of that and parts of that. And boom, we got a movie.
We've talked about it ad nauseum on the Inspired by a True Story podcast. Like, Scream is based, like, it was spawned from the Gainesville murders, which are horrible, horrific, just brutal murders. And they made a horror movie franchise out of that idea. I mean, that's pretty terrifying. The Strangers sprung from some real life adventures, if you will, some horrific events. Like, that's usually what inspires a lot of writers. I don't really know. Yeah, I don't know. But those aren't jobs, I guess.
It'd be like the survivors of Gainesville, right?
Gainesville murders. Gainesville,
yeah. Yeah. It'd be the survivors like suing Kevin Williams for that movie, but that's what this lawsuit feels like.
Sure. I mean, it could be. I mean, maybe they have some merit to it. I don't know. I don't know all the details.
Let's say these guys end up winning, right? Then it opens up a precedent.
Yes,
it does. For like all of this stuff, back cases that are going to be coming against Hollywood. Like, I don't know.
And there's so many movies of all types that are based or inspired by true events, you know, I mean, where the party at question isn't really involved in it. It's just something where they take the idea and they run with it. And, you know, it's slippery slope. But back on the
they
topic.
Also have like a disclaimer, right? Sure. And the disclaimer is for everything. It is for these purposes. Things are dramatized. They're not meant for you to take it as though it is reality. And so that's on you, right? Choice of how you perceive things and what you draw from it. I feel like when you give the legal disclaimer, sure. What are we even talking about here?
Do you know I really wanted to be an archaeologist because of Indiana Jones? And then I realized it is obviously the most boring job ever. Like you don't.
Yeah, you're not going on missions,
never.
Aaron.
Yeah, you don't whip into a cavern ever. Like then
you have a library. And you read, you have a magnifying glass.
And then he got allergy tested at 10 and found out he was allergic to mold and dust.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, I really did. I thought being an archaeologist would be a really cool career. It wasn't. I thought being a hitman would be a cool career. No, you're just always on the run, always looking over your shoulder. That's not fun. There's so many. I thought, you know, being a photographer like Peter Parker would have been cool too. No, they don't pay anything. Movies are a lie. That's all I'm saying. Like, movies and TV shows have lied to me my whole life. They made being a cop seem fun. I'm sure all day it's like you run into a bunch of people just yelling at you because they don't like how you handled something. Or, you know, you can't catch the right crook and you're spending all your time trying to catch them. And, you know, if you really... here's what I love. So, in detectives in movies, they always seem to catch the killer, right? They put all the pieces together and da-da-da-da. In the real world, it's usually either DNA or a fluke.
They're like evidence or bust.
Yeah. It's like you have hardcore physical evidence or it's a fluke. Like just somebody ran in front of the Ring doorbell camera as they left the murder scene. You know, it's like that kind of thing. It's not like it's not Sherlock Holmes, man. They're not putting the clues together. Oh, I saw the hair on the glass and I tied it into Tony. It was you, Tony. None of that.
It's all we might be actually it. Having our own like serial killer in the Chicago area. Because they're finding like bodies scattered up and down the Fox River, and there's like been two that showed up in Schaumburg now, really close to my house. So it's been fascinating to watch.
Is that true?
So if Troy's not on future podcasts,
is this why you're wearing sunglasses?
We need to do a search party. Look, are you an impersonator? Did you abduct Troy?
Is this the vocation that you want to that you were emulating? I don't understand. It's just concerning. I didn't know that there was one in the.
I don't understand why my neighbor's Ring doorbell camera doesn't work anymore. They've asked me to fix it.
That's funny. That's a terrible story. I didn't know that there was one going on in Chicago. That's,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's classified yet as like serial, but it's like there's a lot of weird shit that's been happening lately that people are like, is this all connected?
What's the number? They get the, we need 14.
I don't want to put a number because I have to go back. I have to look at the news stories. I don't have the exact number in front of me.
That's
as long as three of them are linked.
I wanted to be back on topic. I wanted to be a teacher because of summer school. I just thought, this doesn't seem that bad of a job. And then I realized, this is not like most
I wanted to be a dropout because of Breakfast Club.
We all wanted to go into the military after Stripes.
No, not we all. We all did not. No, I did not. Maybe a Top Gun. Now, Stripes makes me want to not join the military. Top Gun made me want to join the military because that was cool. What was cool about Stripes? They never seemed to enjoy it.
They got to hang out with the lady friends.
I think you took away the wrong things from that film. I think
all I know is that I will always have a big toe in my friend group wherever I go.
Such a dork.
God rest Sergeant Holka.
I did. One of the main factors when I joined the Navy was I was inspired by Top Gun. That's a true story. And my grandpa served, but I'm going to look so cool. I'm going to go to flight school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have no depth. Death perception. I'm just basically like going to bump into walls if I'm flying that plane. That's not great.
He's allergic to dust and mold, and he's blind.
It's the fourth jet you've wrecked. They call me Crash. Not a great nickname at the Top Gun school. That's funny.
You'd qualify for Tropic Thunder, though.
I did. Was anybody inspired to be an actor because of movies and TV? Because of watching?
Not because of movies and TV, more probably because of the theater.
Like musical, Broadway?
Like Broadway, musicals, stage stuff, yeah.
Did you actually consider it?
I mean, I don't have the dancing. I could maybe get by with a little more vocal coaching and I can do the singing part, but I can't do the dancing. I am uncoordinated in that regard.
That's tough, Ben. That is tough. That's a talent. You have to really, really be talented to make that work. What about firemen? Anybody here want to be a fire person?
After Backdraft?
Nope.
Hell no.
I hate being hot, but I do have more respect.
That's a weird thing to say.
I hate being warm. Let me put it it's a okay? Fire. Any temperature. Exactly. I don't want to be part of that. Also, have you ever had an experience where you already didn't want to do a job and then somehow a movie made it worse where you really will never do that job?
Men at Work. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Garbage man.
Never again. Yeah. Never ever.
Also, for me, the Lost Bus, you will not catch me as a bus driver, especially in the Western fronts where I have to outrun a fire blazing through.
Such a specific incident. That's like so specific. You think that happened more than once in the history of time?
It doesn't matter.
I was a bus driver. The thing you have to worry about is steep inclines in the middle of winter in Minnesota. That's what you worry about. Being
real.
A giant friggin' toboggan with a bunch of middle schoolers going down a hill.
See, I already did not want the job, and nor would anybody ever hire me for that if they sat in a vehicle with me. But more importantly, I really, really didn't want to do the job. Stop.
Either one of you. I don't want to ride in a bus with either one of you driving. You're both insane. I've ridden with both of you, and you're both insane.
We're Chicago area drivers, okay?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like 90% of the accidents I've been involved in weren't my fault.
Okay. Well, if we're going to go that route, I didn't want to be a convict because it just seemed like very negative when these guys are all going to jail.
Prison Break looks so cool. I want to be in jail if I could break out.
I do think a large portion of my youth was spent going, I want to be like Snake Plissken. or that type, you know, the anti-hero type before it was
the bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of emulated that a little too much. I don't know how much was for movies or TV, but it seemed like an occupation to me at the time. It seemed like a job.
He's like, yeah, I can definitely walk around in a trench coat with a cigarette in my hand.
I did these
of
things.
Of course.
Yeah, I had the trench coat. I didn't have the eye patch because that would have been weird since my eyes are fine. But other than the depth perception.
They don't need to know that.
It's for the look. Don't you understand? It's for the look.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I.e. Troy's glasses, sunglasses that he has on right now.
Anybody ever play sports because of athletes on TV, like that kind of vocation?
You know, I did do cheer because of cheer.
Did you?
That was part of it. Mm-hmm.
Because of what? Bring It On or what?
Yeah, because there was also this VHS tape called Cheer.
Was that a movie?
And then, yeah, sort of. It was like an instructional video sort of thing. But it happened because of Bring It On. And then Cheer, I watched that and I was like, all right, I can do this.
I would say that I actually went out for the high school football team my freshman year because of watching Lucas.
You did?
Yeah, me.
What? It was like Waterboy or...
I was gonna be the place kicker, actually.
Okay, I can see he's a kicker.
I can see kicker.
I was like, you're not a linebacker. You're not a quarterback. You're not a receiver. I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't see it. I could be wrong. Maybe you're super fast, like Tyreek Hill.
And then my friend called and said the soccer team needed a goalie, so I went and played soccer.
I can see that.
It's the only place where I can legitimately say, like, there were 11 of you that had to get through in order to get to me. Why is it my fault?
I'm the last resort.
That's a great point.
That's hilarious.
That's a great point.
So Ted Lasso brought back memories.
Oh yeah, Ted Lasso was great. It was great.
I did. I hemmed and hawed with being, because I always wanted to be a writer growing up. So it was like either I want to be write movies or I want to be an investigative journalist like Fletch. I loved investigative journalist movies. I mean, I just was really a sucker for them in all forms, whether it be comedy or something serious. And, but it never seemed like a job where I could make a living at it, I guess. And as I got older, it definitely became one where you couldn't make much of a living unless you were quite high on the ranks.
I did go out for the golf team senior year because of Tin Cup.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you intentionally sink the ball into a water hole multiple times for no reason?
Yeah, I got to play free golf 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And whatever your score was on Friday was what they determined who actually played in the match on Saturday. And I didn't play in a single match the entire season. But I got 5 days of free golf.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. Hey, I was looking at some of the listener comments. You know, we usually put what the topic is of the week on the Facebook group. And Barbara Harris had a good point. Scully on the X-Files encouraged more girls to get into the sciences. I'm not going to speak on that because I am not one. But Amanda, do you agree with that statement? Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I would agree. And I would say if you wanted to look at kind of a modern... Well, you also have to think about Alien. That was a good one, too, to kind of get women into this sci-fi-y, science-y world. Hmm. And then I would also say a modern one was, oh my gosh, it was the NASA women, Hidden Figures.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep.
That was another really good female inspiration to kind of get into the field of science.
Oh, that's very cool. Chris Frid, I think on a positive note, DeForest Kelly used to get tons of letters over his career telling him fans became doctors because of Dr. McCoy on Star Trek. That one character inspired people to follow medicine. I have never heard this before. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would be George Clooney, but I guess good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would have assumed too, but interesting.
And our good old buddy Kyle Nolan from NoReruns.net, who was on last week. He did a great job, by the way, Kyle. He said, Dexter made the Miami Metro, a.k.a. Miami-Dade, police look tough on crime. Devoted employee fighting for justice even when he wasn't on the clock.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
That's a really good one.
Oh, good. Funny. Good topic. Good conversation. I want to move on to a little summer catch-up. I kind of want to know, you know, it's the time of year when people say they're going to catch up on TV or movies because less content on network TV, you know, where there's a lot of break, even though these days there's not as much free time to catch up on stuff. But I'm kind of curious, is there one show you are definitely positively finally catching up on this summer that you've been putting off or blowing off, whatever?
I mean, I have two because I'm been trying to watch Lucifer and get like that finished and off the list.
Really?
So I'll have to get back to Lucifer. It was like my bike ride show that I watched when I was on my stationary for the winter.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified, because I'm like, you ride your bike around Chicago watching TV? I don't understand how that works, but
feels real risky.
It does.
I get to the devil. It is what it is.
Hey.
And then I mentioned last week, I got to get back to For All Mankind. That's my one for sure.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right. Amanda, what about you? You got one that you've been putting off, blowing off?
I've been trying to catch up with my shows as of late-ish, I guess. And so I would say the one that has me kind of convinced I'm going to make sure I get caught up on it, and I'm using it as kind of my morning get ready show, like as I'm doing my hair and everything. And that's Will Trent. I just started watching it.
Oh,
and
Will Trent's been enjoying it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the one I would say. Everything else I actually got mostly caught up on, except, and I don't think I'm going to prioritize it. Here's the opposite. Here's one I don't think I'm going to actually catch up on.
Okay.
Is Game of Thrones series. I haven't watched
Night of Seven Kingdoms.
Night of Seven Kingdoms. I haven't gotten there yet.
Must finish. Must finish. So I'd watch that.
It's good. Because I did a rewatch of, oh my gosh, what's
House
the other
Dragon?
One? House of the Dragon.
This is so.
And that second season really dragged.
It's
for me.
So not House of the Dragon. House of the Dragon.
Dragon.
Sorry, I'm ashamed of that.
That was really good. Don't be, actually.
Snaps.
Night of the Seven All Kingdoms, though, is really Snaps. Good.
That's Night really of Seven Kingdoms is really good.
I do want to watch it. It's just like, so did a full rewatch of Game of Thrones, then went directly into House of the Dragon. Mind you, I'd already seen all of this. And then a rewatch of season 2 of House of the Dragon, and I was like, okay, whoa, I gotta get out
whoa,
of this.
Whoa, you rewatched season 2?
Rewatched season
what
2.
What is wrong with you?
Because she
the
forgot
things
everything.
We do for love.
Yeah.
Actually, that is a very good point, and I do tell people that. That is the one really good benefit about having the memory of a goldfish, is that I get to rewatch stuff like it's like I've never seen it before.
Were you as disappointed the second time as you were the first time?
I think I was actually more disappointed.
Good.
It got worse.
Man.
The first season I still really like. I really love the first season. The second season was so much more difficult to get through.
It took forever. It's like they were taunting
the
you.
The pacing. Yeah, oh, my God.
Terrible.
Yeah. Don't even get me started.
Take a Pepto, use the little Men in Black flashy thing, and watch Night of the Seven Kingdoms.
Okay.
Trust.
They're only half hour episodes. Right. They really, really are.
Right.
There's like six or seven, eight. Eight, was it?
Six. I think there's only six.
Yeah. It's fast.
I'll
it's
very add short. It to my
it's literally 3 hours of your time. It's like a long movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine is Shrinking. I'm finally going to finish Shrinking, and I'm starting to make a dent in it. You know, I'm in season 2, so I think they're only up to
end of season 2.
Yeah, but so I'm getting there. I will have that knocked out by this summer and
that's
caught
easy.
Up.
That's also like only 300 minutes left.
I will tell you, man, it's getting a little repetitive. That's all I'm saying. It's just, you know, I feel like, okay, we get it. Your wife died. I know it sucks, but at some point, like, are you going to move on or is this going to keep coming up? Like, is everything a trigger for you? And some of the, there are some people that are like, well, it's very much like what psychiatry is. And I'm like, Harrison Ford's character. Yes. Everything else. No. But I'm liking it. I don't love it like some people do, but I definitely like it.
They expand the characters in season 3. More of the ensemble gets more of their own stories.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'll finish it.
Can we?
So excited.
After Euphoria, I'm really not liking time jumps in my shows.
I watched part of Euphoria.
Yet.
What is with the Godzilla thing? Are you caught up on it? You know what I watched episode one
and that's where I stopped. I have to like, I'm waiting for it to binge.
It doesn't matter. This is not going to make any sense.
It is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in a television show. I think
it's really weird.
It's
more stupid than really them swallowing weird. The drug balloons actually on
Cassie
TV
running then, around as Godzilla. And I'm
running
not
around as a dog in the first episode. That doesn't surprise
Godzilla.
me.
He's not exaggerating. This is real. This is real.
Knocking little helicopters, cheap helicopters out of the sky, storming around a little city in her hot little cheat outfit.
It was a way for them to help you contextualize the way that her ego inflated you.
Can we just admit that is it Sam?
It wasn't good.
Hang on. Can we admit that Sam Levinson, is that his name? The creator? Can we just admit he is just straight up exploiting her at this point? Like, he is straight up just 1,000% exploiting Sydney Sweeney.
You know what I said?
But it's also her character. Her character is
I think he's just being a pervert at this point.
But also what he just said, because, and I'm going to say specifically, and I'm not giving anything away. None of this is a spoiler about Euphoria. Nothing we're talking about is a spoiler. There is a moment in one of the most recent episodes where something happens and Cassie's excited about it and she's jumping up and down like a 10-year-old. And I said, the only reason she is jumping and bouncing around as much as she is because she's wearing a crop top that's barely covering her breasts.
Yeah. Yep. It's
the most ridiculous outfit for even Cassie. And it's the amount of bouncing and jumping. I'm like, this is wild. This is giving bad Transformer vibes.
Which is why the first episode where it actually has her like, you know, getting that woman power, you're right? When she's like sending across from Nate, right?
No, there's no woman power in this, man.
She's like, you're not going to let me do this for my thing, but I'm going to go do this. And like, she takes control back from the man.
This is a very interesting discussion because it's as this season progresses, I think there's a challenge and a discussion about when is it a choice to be this sexually exposed and when does it turn into exploitation? And I think that is actually a really good conversation that it comes out of this season in terms of where people sit on it is where the discussion's going to be, but they're exposing that as a discussion point. Now, the Godzilla thing, I'm not going to take away from Aaron's point because it is
stupid.
So it's
fucking wild.
It's damn ridiculous is what you're saying.
I literally thought I accidentally ate like bad mushrooms, like not the kind you're supposed to eat, the kind that make you lucid.
Is there an episode where she dresses up as the Green Knight? Because now we're talking.
No.
Oh my God.
Seriously, man. Whenever you watch
it's wild.
It's like, it's long too. I mean, somebody sent it to me and said, you got to watch this. And because I don't watch Euphoria on a regular.
I was wondering how you watched this.
Because somebody said, you got to watch it. And it's like 8 or 9 minutes. Am I wrong? It's a long time. It's a long time.
It's lengthy and it's lengthy.
It's something. Don't do it. All right.
It's wild.
That's all I got to say. Let's go do we've got a review of Obsession. This is actually from our South by Southwest episode, but in case you haven't heard it, Obsession is playing in theaters now when you listen to this. It is, my opinion, one of the best movies of the year. So here's our review of Obsession.
Obsession. Mm-hmm. After breaking the mysterious quote-unquote one-wish willow to win his crush's heart, a hopeless romantic finds himself getting exactly what he asked for, but soon discovers that some desires come at a dark, sinister price. And I find this one to be, I'm going to say a little redundant, because Buffy the Vampire Slayer already did this.
That's my boy. This is different.
I'm sure it's different. You said it's a masterpiece. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a masterpiece. I said it's my favorite movie of the festival.
Favorite of the festival, and you rave about it.
And probably one of my favorites of the year when it's all said and done, for sure. The film is so well set up. Bear is played by Michael Johnson, and you know he's not like a typical protagonist. He's very soft-spoken. He's a very nice guy. He's the guy you'd want to hang out with, right? But he's in love with this girl, Nikki, who's played by Indy Navarette. And he has this unspoken love for her, and he just keeps wanting to ask her out, and his buddy keeps telling him no, and don't do this. You're going to ruin our game night if you go and make things weird, stuff like that. So he comes across this novelty item called One Wish Willow, which is like this little trinket that if you break it, make a wish, your wish will come true. And in a moment of weakness, he makes that wish that Nikki will love him more than anybody else on earth. And then she does. And holy hell, do you not want someone to love you more than anything else on earth? And what I love about the concept is because the whole time I'm watching it, I know what the idea is. I know what the plot is. And I'm like, you're taking away her agency, right? Because it's a wish. So you might see her as she acts crazy or she gets very obsessed, but it's also not her plan. Like, this isn't her. She was forced into this. You're taking away her agency with this wish. Are they going to address that? And they do. They do it so well. There are several little moments where I'm like, oh my God, that's actually heartbreaking, because you realize that there's a person in there that can't control what they're doing. And, or however you see it. I mean, I guess that's kind of how I see it, but I think you can see it multiple ways. And what I think is phenomenal is, number one, Nikki, Indy Neverett. She is magnetic. You instantly understand why Bear wants to date her, wants to be with her, because she's the kind of girl that everybody would have a crush on if they were, you know, hanging out. And you also understand where she's coming from, that maybe Bear's in the friend zone, right? Like, yeah, I never told you or hinted that we were going to be a thing, so I don't know why you keep thinking that. And then as the obsession kicks in, you know, her performance kicks into overdrive and it works and works and works. And even when she's being erratic and insane, you also see a level of humanity there in certain spots. And I really, really was impressed by her performance, but especially how Curry Barker wrote and directed the film. There are so many aspects where I know where the movie's going. I know where it's going. I've seen a horror movie before, and Curry Barker knows we've seen a horror movie before. So he knows, you know, roughly what's going to happen, but he's going to come at it a different way. He's going to make it hit a different beat. So it feels different. It makes it feel fresh. It makes it feel unique, and it makes it feel original. And by the end of it, I'm like, this could be a goddamn franchise, like Smile or Paranormal Activity or anything else, because this is very much, you could make a million different things, wishes, you know what I mean? And just play the wrong end of it. And it works so well. Like, I never took my eyes off the screen. I was constantly staring, waiting for what was happening next. I don't really know what I could do to change it, but I gave it 9 out of 10. I freaking love this movie.
Woo!
Loved it.
Loved it a lot.
Oh my God. I love a good horror movie, but a great horror movie is hard to find. And here's a snippet from Curry Barker, director of Obsession. And if you don't know, he does social media content like That's a Bad Idea, which I kind of like a lot of their stuff. It's very, very weird and it goes dark in a lot of ways. But also here he's talking about, you know, what he wanted to do and how he came to make this film, which, again, worth seeing in a theater, man. Go see Obsession in a theater. Here's Curry Barker, the director.
And one of the things that I love about your short stuff, which if you guys haven't seen it, it's Some Bad Ideas.
That's a bad idea, sorry.
And it is, in a weird way, those are kind of a nutshell of what works so fucking well in this, is you're very good at taking a simple idea and committing to it with utmost sincerity. And I'm just kind of curious, like, what about that appeals to you?
I just like honesty of human behavior, you know? I just like to study human behavior, and I think that lends itself to comedy and it lends itself to horror, you know? Like, to be funny and relatable, you kind of have to look at the psychology of why people do things, you know? And that kind of lends itself to this genre as well.
But the idea of the One Wish Willow, is that an idea that you've had for a long time? Was it ever going to have use in shorts and then that about this?
Or? No, I was really wanted to tell this wish movie, and I did a lot of research about different wish devices. You know, you've got like a wishbone and like you've got like a wishing well. And I couldn't really find anything that like worked for the story. Like, I wanted it to be something you could buy at the store. I didn't want it to be something that just like mysteriously shows up on your doorstep and you don't know where it came from. I loved the idea of like, no, if you wanted to, you could go into this store and you could buy this thing and it would work.
Like, I love how matter of fact it is. It just, there's no question. It's like, oh yeah, this
no,
is
it works.
Is.
Yeah. Like, I just wanted to get away from what we've seen so many times where it's like, oh, you know, and that's why I kind of make fun of that in the store, like where he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, dude, I'm fucking with you. It's right here.
Okay. Now let's go to what you've been watching. I don't really have any. I talked about Mortal Kombat 2 on the episode last week, so no, I don't really have anything. I will say We don't like to duplicate and talk about things we already talked about, but I will echo what Kyle Nolan said last week. Go see Sheep Detectives. Great freaking movie. Just a great family movie. But also you can go with friends, adults, kids, whatever, as long as they're okay with it. It's a little murder, but it's a great little film. Loved it. What about you guys? Anything you want to mention that hasn't already been talked about ad nauseum?
Like we talked about it ad nauseum or for a while. I finally started The Dark Journey on Netflix.
The what?
Dark. It was the science fiction time travel German
show. Is that on HBO? I thought it was on Netflix.
I said Netflix.
Oh, did you? I thought you said yeah. HBO. I apologize.
No. Yeah. Okay. So I'm finally on the bandwagon of that journey.
Is it very heady? It's very thought-provoking, et cetera, isn't it?
It's a little, I'm only two episodes in, and it's definitely a lot to absorb in those first two episodes, because clearly it's set up to be like, you know, it's going to be time travel stuff, and it's like, it feels like it in a lot of places, but yet not. And then that's like, there's this power plant thing, and obviously the German English translation is probably getting missed in some spots. But yeah, I mean, it's like the time Trump happens in like the second episode, and I'm like, okay, I'm in for timey-wimey shit. Let's go.
I'm in for timey-wimey shit. Okay, so Dark. Anything else?
And then I'd like to mention season 2, episode 6, I believe it was, of Your Friends and Neighbors. The premise is that at the end of season 5, the main character, John Hamm, his dad dies, right? And his sister has a little bit of like a bipolar thing that she takes meds for. Her mom is a little bit of a basket case. Their mom actually is a basket case. Dad is kind of like the glue that held the family together. And so like the whole episode is kind of a one-er, like a one shot, as they progress through the funeral and the post party at the house and just like looking at how people are interacting with each other. And it was a really interesting take on how the camera portrayed grief and how that day progresses at the start where you think you got it all together. And at the end, it's all kind of like, wow, this is a lot right now. And it lands in a really, really interesting place.
And I thought you were kind of off of Your Friends and Neighbors like a week or two ago.
It was like getting kind of repetitive. And then there was like a really great scene at the end of episode 5 that was like, okay, like Amanda Peet and Olivia Munn can act. They're not just like nice people to look at. Like they really brought their A game in that scene. And so I was like, all right, we're back on the train. And so now we're back on the train. And this episode was like, it just stands out. It's totally different from the rest of the show. And I think that they really wanted to make a point of view on how people deal with grief and in different ways. Not just the immediate family, like the ancillary people around them are having their own stuff too.
Okay. Amanda, what about you?
One thing I want to mention is Funny AF with Kevin Hart. Even if you're not a fan of Kevin Hart's comedy, this is really cool to have primarily Chelsea Handler, Kumail Nanjiani, and Kevin Hart bringing back this kind of focus on comedians and really giving them a platform that I don't think comedians have truly had before in terms of like a reality competition show. And so it's good. You get different styles of comedy. You get to see some people from Chicago, LA, and New York, and they're competing for the chance to have their own Netflix comedy show. And they're really funny. They're actually really funny. So I would highly recommend watching that. That's on Netflix. And then also on Netflix is Something Very Bad is Going to Happen. And ooh, this has Camilla Marone.
It's from the Duffer Brothers, right? They're producers.
Yes.
On that. Okay.
Yep. She, I also just found out, it is apparently Leonardo DiCaprio's ex-wife. That's interesting. She looks young enough.
I don't think he's been married.
Oh, ex-girlfriend. Oh, sorry. You're right. Ex-girlfriend. But she did a phenomenal job in this show. It's essentially about a young woman who is to be wed to this guy that they've been together forever, and this is her true love. And then there starts to become this ominous discomfort in her moving forward with them getting married. And is there something more behind this, or is she just overthinking it? And it does go into, it's not anything that's scary. Like, it's not a horror in that sense, but it does go into some darker concepts, and it's interesting. I like where it went. I thought it was a good show. It's pretty limited. I want to say it was only like 7 or 8 episodes, so pretty minimal investment. and it was pretty good payoff.
Is it one that they could do more with, or is it one off? Like, it's done.
You could, because this like latches onto a historical thing. Like, this isn't, she's not the first person in this area to feel this kind of sense of concern, right? Mm-hmm. So you could, but I don't know that I would need more. I feel like I was pretty fulfilled with what I got here.
Okay. I want to see that. I do want to watch that.
You should. I think you'll like it.
And anything else?
No, I already kind of shared some of my thoughts on Euphoria. I don't think it's hitting as strong.
Rawr. Freaking Godzilla.
Rawr.
So stupid. So stupid. God, it's just, it's terrible. That's, I don't like the show to begin with. That didn't make me like it anymore. Like, I've had some people say, well, you should go back and try it from the beginning. And I've thought about it and thought about it. And then I see stuff like that. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm just good. It's just not for me. Not for me. And I can't believe I'm empathizing with Sydney Sweeney, who, don't get me wrong, I think she's made a fortune off of capitalizing on her sexuality, and good on her. It's her sexuality. If she wants to profit off it, good for her. But I feel like the writing now is just cheap. I just feel like anything I've seen of it,
it
seems very cheap. Yeah.
It's the camera angles and the way that this character goes about life is different than before.
You say the directing just for her stuff or the whole show?
For her stuff.
Okay.
It's just weird. Well, hey, that's it for this episode, guys. We're almost to summer, though. We're like right down the road from summer. Well, I mean, we are technically in summer.
Movie season wise,
and movies are doing well. I love seeing the theater has been popping. Mortal Kombat 2 did pretty well despite being a terrible movie, and Devil Wears Prada 2 did great. You've got, you know, Sheep Detectives actually is doing much better than they expected, and it's a family film, so it might even play into summer. Who knows?
Yeah, I was thinking about the other day.
What's that?
The Fantasy Movie League.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know if that's still up and running, but that was a lot of fun when we were doing that.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember that. Oh, Breaking Monday. We heard that.
During COVID, wasn't it?
That long ago.
Yeah.
Or pre-COVID.
I think
pre-COVID.
It would have been pre-COVID.
Like, it had to have been pre-COVID.
2016, 2017?
Yeah. Had to have been pre-COVID. It'd
be pretty easy to predict it during COVID. Nobody.
We just shut it down.
How many people went to a movie? Nobody. And for people that don't know, it was basically like predicting how much money a movie would make every week.
Yeah, you got an eight screen multiplex, and you had to decide which screens you wanted to show what. But some movies, obviously, that you know were going to be big, you could cost more money to buy to bring into your theater, so it could only be on so many screens. Right. It was actually a lot of math. It was good.
It was really fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah, for movie fans, you know.
Except for, wasn't it Kyle Nolan who basically won every week? That got old.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, you can find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. And remember that the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, buy popcorn.
Bye, popcorn.
Training Day also had a delightful officer in it, right? Like, he was
the most.
He was a very up and upstanding individual.
Yeah, it's kind of every cop movie from the 80s and 90s almost. There's always a bad cop. 2000s. Even if you have a good cop, the good cop is looking for the bad cop, or it turns out to be a bad cop.
To Live and Die in L.A.? Oh, that was a good one. I'm sure most police officers are really more like Reno 911. That's what I'm going with. We're super troopers.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys.
All right, well, stop thumping around there. Let me know when you're situated.
I mute myself, so I'm situated.
All right, well, here we go.
You don't gotta worry about me, dog.
Well, all I'm hearing is rumble in the jungle, so
that's because I'm rumbling without muting.
All right,
go ahead.
Okay, motherfucker, I feel like you did that on
purpose. So you're mad at me about fumbling around, but this motherfucker can sip his tea?
That's what I just
like
fucking
he's
said.
On Bridgerton.
That's what I just said. All right,
why do you have, okay, what's up, Mr. Ray Charles? Why do you have sunglasses on?
Took her all the 20 minutes to be like, wait, what?
What the fuck is going on?